Jurassic Park 3, Spinosaurus Potter, by Gojira 126, read by Sam Gabriel, based on the works of Michael Crichton and J.K. Rowling. Chapter 13. James grunted as he hit another native with a hex, sending her into the wall with a bad rash that would rip open momentarily. Sirius was at his side as another spear-wielding native went down from a curse to the neck. Garrett was reloading his pistol as he grunted from several nicks from thrown weapons. Thankfully, his military outfit protected him. James grunted as he sent a blasting curse into the chest of some hybrid human-animal thing, sending it away in a shower of gore.
"We should have left this Wasterworld relic alone," Sirius said, sending out another spell. "Well enough alone."
"Sirius, leave your mother out of this. She's dead already,"
James said before hurling a blasting hex into a crumbling structure, causing it to collapse and crush more of the primitives. Sirius snorted before the sound of something approaching stopped the attackers before the sound turned into helicopters armed to the teeth. Soldiers rappelled down from the choppers, guns blazing as hundreds of natives dropped dead. As their fellows fell with bullet holes covering their bodies, the natives began to rout, fleeing into the darkness of their cave homes. Once all the natives left, one of the helicopters landed on a large enough stone platform as the head of the forces stepped out.
"James Potter," he asked,
his sharp, rough face having a scar that left a white mark across his left cheek. James nodded once at this.
"I'm head of the InGen Biosyn Security Forces here for Isla Crenio. Captain Thrain Harthorn," the man Harthorn introduced himself. "I would say let's get you off this rock, but given that your wife and co-head of both companies was kidnapped by a massive simian animal, I think we both want her back." Sirius smirked. "I think you found any nice sayers here, Harthorn, but how far inland can these choppers get us before heading back to refuel?"
Harthorn grimaced.
"Best estimates put us roughly 50 or so kilometers into the island before we need to disembark for the choppers to make it back safely to the carrier. However, we'll be using a heavily trained team of dragon tamers, ex-military and wildlife survivalists from both magical and squib sides of the force."
James nodded. "Thus the amount of weaponry and equipment to study and protect us." Harthorn smirked.
"Indeed. Lily would be very upset if we didn't get as much information as we could as we traveled across this horror movie paradise. Mr. Potter, the people in Costa Rica describe this island as the land where God forgot to finish his work, which is a very fitting description for the place that translates to Skull Island."
James nodded before asking,
"Did you see a Spinosaurus as you got here?"
Harthorn shook his head.
"Not exactly. We saw the tail end of what looked like a dinosaur charge into the forest, but it could only be after the massive simian."
James grimaced before nodding to Harthorn.
"Let's go then. That ape will have a massive lead."
Sirius knew that nothing was a coincidence as the helicopters reached the designated drop-off point, 50-plus kilometers away, before deploying the rescue team for Lily. Supplies, weapons, and other materials were quickly unloaded before the helicopters took off again. Sirius swiftly added featherweight charms to the heaviest cargo, and both he and James were forced into protective gear. Considering the company's caution, he realized he needed to take every precaution. Amelia would likely find a way to resurrect him just to kill him again if he failed. The company moved swiftly through the jungle, their presence noted by the creatures watching from the shadows. Eyes glowered from the dense foliage, reptilian and intelligent, yet none dared to attack, at least not yet. As they continued, Sirius noticed something unusual on the ground. His boot was in a small, viscous pool of red blood, surrounded by torn flesh and brown fur.
"That's not coming out of these boots," he commented, pausing the group. "I'm pretty sure massive simian blood is uncleanable."
"I wouldn't say uncleanable," a female soldier replied, pulling out a wand and collecting the flesh in fresh bags for later study.
"Few charms should remove it,"
Sirius snorted. "Having been an Auror, I've stepped in worse. Much worse."
He cleaned his boot with high-powered cleaning spells before the blood could stain. Looking up, he saw what appeared to be a raptor slinking back into the trees like a feline predator from Asia. His nerves were on edge from the sight, but they soon left the jungle and entered a plain with a massive river winding its way through. Several mountains and rocks jutted out along the riverbanks as the sun set behind the distant mountain range. The camp was quickly set up with a security perimeter. Sirius walked over to James and sat down by one of the campfires.
"You think Harry is on Kong's trail?"
James asked softly, staring into the fire. Sirius put an arm around his brother's shoulders.
"I hope so. He survived an island full of dinosaurs well into his 14th year."
James blinked and looked at him.
"Why did you say it like that?"
Sirius rolled his eyes.
"You do realize that Amelia's niece, Andrew and Liza's kid, is trying out for a part in a muggle play about Macbeth. It's kind of hard to wrap your head around that play without something sticking."
James snorted.
"Shakespeare?
Wouldn't have thought his way of speaking would have stuck to you, Sirius."
Sirius shrugged. "But hasn't it felt appropriate?"
James returned his gaze to the crackling flames.
"I just hope he's all right."
Further up ahead, though she didn't realize it, Lily found herself placed on a ledge that went into a small hollow. The ledge was covered in moss and other warm vegetation as she watched the massive simian move through the water before he stopped to take a drink. She had been sobbing for most of the trip to this ledge over her son, who she had seen go over the ledge. She had tried to find the magic to locate the innate bond that parents had with their children, but all she found was a weak link. She had learned that if something like that occurred, the child was dead, full stop. But they had been wrong. Her son had survived on Isla Sorna until he was 14 years old. She gritted her teeth before pushing her magic into the bond, forcing it through with her will. Something inside her snapped, her body flying into the back of the hollow. She hissed as the bond glowed in her mind's eye, and she had her answer. Her son was alive. She got distracted when Kong roared, causing her to look around. She gaped in shock as the massive simian was being wrapped up in massive tentacles from the water. Kong struggled and pulled at the rubbery appendages that tried to throttle him, the water boiling around him. Kong gave a final bellow and slammed his foot into the water. Black ink erupted like oil from the earth, and the frothing water calmed before the massive ape started to eat the animal. She blinked before Kong walked over to her, tearing a piece of the tentacle away. He placed it in front of her hollow before sitting on the bank of the river to continue to eat, something her stomach agreed with. She sighed, thankful the Notice Me Not charms held, keeping her wand safe after her safety measure went off to put her wand back in its holster. With wand in hand, she started cooking the massive tentacle before tearing off a more sizable chunk and biting into it. At least she wasn't allergic to cephalopod. All the way back at the primitive village, the village elders sneered as she looked at the high mage of the tribe. His ashen gray skin, white eyes and outfit made of rubbery ocean humanoids and bones. He looked out at the village.
"Send out the bone apes," he rasped,
his voice sounding so cruel and hollow in the cave.
"They will destroy the child of man that dare change into a predator that went into the ground ages ago. The others will be hunted all the same as well. Our god is testing us, you hag. Can you not see it?"
"Not like you can see with those blind old eyes of yours," she thought with a sneer before one of the demigods walked in. Half man, half dinosaur, the honored warrior of the tribe hissed into her ear. She nodded at the message before walking out of the necromancer's cave, motioning the demigod to follow her.
"We hunt the intruders," she hissed,
looking into the pit where the honorable demigod children of man and animal practiced and trained.
"They shall die."
The pit ceiling was carved away with magic to show the species of minor Kong that had been bred into the service of the natives.
with their dinosaur skulls, the bodies of the smaller godlings of Kong exposed to the elements. Bulging red muscles and other interconnective tissues were exposed, along with bones and large talons. Across the back and shoulders was black fur that would allow for the riders to sit comfortably as they directed these Wendigo-like Kongs toward their prey.
Unleash the wrath of Kong!
For the full text of this and other stories by the same author, visit the AO3 page of Gojira 126. Music from Jurassic Park for the Nintendo Game Boy, gratefully used by permission of composer John Dunn. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch with me using the contact info on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find links to other stories that I've read, my Discord server where you can attend live recordings of all of my ongoing projects, and various ways to support what I do. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.